You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Katchmith, and this is our weekly look at the Minnesota Twins here in the final week of the regular season in 2016. I'm joined by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, obviously the big news in baseball this week is the Jose Fernandez untimely passing down in Miami, and it's something that every clubhouse is talking about, every team is talking about. What were the Twins saying about that tragedy?
It was definitely a somber day in the clubhouse on Sunday. You know, to wake up and to find that out, most of the players that day kind of woke up and kind of talking to Brian Dozier, woke up that day, checked Twitter when he woke up and saw the news and couldn't believe it. I mean, there's a lot of Latin players in that clubhouse, too, definitely felt that. The Twins don't have any Cuban players, but certainly some players that that knew Fernandez a little bit. And, you know, Fernandez's fourth career start was at Target Field in 2013 as part of a doubleheader. And, you know, some of the players got to see him this year, too, as well. The Twins played the Marlins in interleague play. Fernandez didn't pitch against them, but, you know, he's one of those guys that around baseball is just so beloved just because his personality on the field. You know, you couldn't, you know, watch him pitch or even just him in the dugout. Some of these videos you see him celebrating that home run from Stanton, just kind of a lovable character in baseball, not to mention how, you know, great of a player he was. So a tough day for baseball. I think, you know, talking to Paul Molitor, too, just kind of reminds you of, you know, Kirby Puckett, his famous quote saying that tomorrow is not promised to anyone, was kind of what Molitor was saying. It kind of reminded him of that. And so it's just one of those tough days in baseball, and, you know, clubhouse before the game was definitely a lot quieter than usual, just because I think so many people were reflecting and just so shocked and surprised to hear that news about Fernandez.
Yeah, such a huge loss for the sport at large, and the Marlins and his family and everything. Just an absolute heartbreaker, and really puts in perspective. I mean, a year like the Twins have had is nothing compared to a loss like that. But Brett, the Twins did hit the 100 loss mark since we last spoke. I know that's something guys in that clubhouse would have loved to avoid, you know, the ignominy that comes with 100 losses, but kind of became unavoidable at a certain point.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where you obviously never want to reach that, you know, that 100 losses. Second time ever in franchise history since they moved to Minnesota in 61. I have a real shot here at breaking the all-time club record. You know, they have 102 losses, at least matching or tying that. They certainly have a chance to do that here in this last week of the season. I remember, like I said before, that, you know, story a couple years ago, my first year on the beat, 2011, when they won that last game to avoid 100 losses, and Pavano saying, you know, that 100 losses is a heck of a lot better than, or sorry, 99 losses is a heck of a lot better than 100. You don't want to be that guy. So it was tough, too, to do it on Sunday, the final home game of the year for the Twins, to get 100 losses in front of the fans like that. And also, they clinched their worst home record of all time as well at 30-51. So one of those things where it's just been a tough couple of months here going down to the finish line. You know, in some ways, it's just another number, but it's like you said, it's just kind of that number itself of 100 certainly is not the kind of season that the Twins are looking for this season.
And Joe Mauer, you know, he had a slight uptick offensively this year, Ren, but the last 6-7 weeks, I know he's really been plagued by those quadriceps injuries. How big of a deal has that been for him?
Yeah, it really has been a big deal for him this last, you know, couple months here. Was having a nice start to the season and had pretty solid numbers there for a while. But even his overall numbers still have a high on-base percentage, but really kind of came back down a little bit just because he's really been dealing with these quad issues here the last couple of months, especially recently. It's been his right quad. He's been pretty forthcoming about how he's not feeling good at all right now. You got to figure with the Twins playing the Royals and White Sox the last week of the season, two teams that are not in contention, there's at least a pretty good chance he could be shut down here the rest of the way, or at the very least maybe play one game or pinch hit here and there. But you got to figure playing non-contending teams, we're going to see kind of a mixture of Kenny Vargas at first place, maybe even, you know, James Beresford. They're probably going to mix and match their lineup a lot here down the stretch. So you got to figure that with Mauer dealing with these injuries, might be it for him this season. Another one of those years where, you know, Mauer dealing with injuries again, certainly is not anything new. We've seen this a lot, but for it to be the quads is obviously a little bit different this year. Both of them are strained. It's kind of unclear exactly when it happened and kind of how it happened in a sense. I do know that it was really aggravated when they played the Braves. I believe in mid-August was really when it kind of really went south on him. But otherwise, it's kind of unknown exactly how both of it happened, but it's certainly been a tough finish of the year for Mauer.
Well, on a more uplifting note, Brian Dozier entered the final week with 42 home runs, and this has really become the most compelling storyline on the Twins. Dozier's shot at history here.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. I mean, he's kind of the lone bright spot to this team, on the offensive side at least, this season, in terms of, you know, to hit that many home runs is an amazing feat, especially for a second baseman, as we've talked about before, with 42 home runs, with 40 of those coming while playing second base. He set the American League record, and has a real chance here to set the record for most home runs by a player who played second base primarily. I think the record there is 43 by Davey Johnson. He's only, you know, one away from tying that. So a week left, like I said, with the Twins, you know, not in, obviously not in contention, and playing teams that are not in contention either, you got to wonder how much the regulars are going to play. But I do think that with Dozier kind of approaching that milestone, potentially setting that record, he'll play probably more than most of the regulars will. But yeah, it's definitely an amazing season he's had, and the production over the last couple of months, especially going back to, you know, June 1st, has been absolutely amazing, and definitely a bright spot for this Twin season. And obviously, we've talked about being the, you know, only the second guy ever in Twins history to hit more than 40 home runs, joining Harmon Killebrew.
Another bright spot here in the home stretch has been Byron Buxton. We've talked about his offensive contribution since coming back, and his defense has been terrific as well. We saw him rob Nelson Cruz last week with a sensational catch. It just makes you feel good in general about Buxton heading into the winter.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the offense has been a lot better. The power's been a big surprise this month. You know, showing off that home run power. Even his most latest home run was, you know, off Justin Verlander, and was crushed in center field. It was actually even right center field, which is a good shot sign and shows you how strong he really is. You know, I think some people don't realize how strong Buxton is, because obviously he gets so much written about his speed. He's a strong guy, too. To show this power is definitely a good sign. And I just said the defense really has obviously always been very good, but this month especially, he's really been having a great month defensively. Robin Nelson Cruz, that home run was an amazing catch there in center field. Was a great play. Also made a great diving play on a ball that was hit in. You know, Twins manager Paul Molitor has been talking about how, you know, his defense could even be a little bit better in terms of some of his reads, but just his athleticism is just so amazing. He can get the ball that most guys can't. So definitely a good sign to see him playing well all around going into the offseason. We talked about his struggles a lot. Obviously had a tough start to his career. But if this is a sign of what's to come, the Twins are definitely very excited about that. And you know, he's going to be a big part of their future. So the big question mark has been his offense, but at least this month, you know, it's been a small sample size, but he certainly looked like the player they were hoping he'd be.
And Rhett, one last thing. What does the future hold for the bullpen? Are there guys who are making strong cases to be part of the 2017 mix?
There are some guys. I mean, Ryan Pressly's had a nice year. I think he's been leading the American League in appearances, so he's kind of been backed off a little bit here the last month or so, just because trying to kind of get his workload down, especially with for call-ups. But he had a good enough season. He's definitely going to be in the mix next year. Brandon Kinsler's had a nice year as a, you know, closer, was certainly a trade candidate at the deadline. Wasn't moved. You got to figure he's going to be part of the puzzle next year as well. JT Chagois, hard-throwing right-hander, has been a lot better since its shaky debut. He's kind of, you know, evolved into a higher-profile role here down the stretch with his stuff. He's hit 99 miles per hour on the gun several times recently. And Taylor Rogers, a lefty, too, has also had a season in his first year in relief. So that's kind of one of the bright spots. They found some guys that, you know, maybe could be part of that bullpen next year. The big question mark, of course, is going to be Glenn Perkins' health, you know, a three-time All-Star, but with that torn labrum off the bone, that kind of comeback is going to be tough for him. You never really know if his career is really ever going to bounce back to the point that it was, or if it's even going to be over. So, you know, maybe Kinsler will be the closer again next year. At this point, the Twins, with their, you know, overall issues, I think their closer issues probably pretty far down the list. But at least to see some young guys, whether it's Pressly or you know, Rogers, these guys, you know, Chagois starting to make their mark, at least they have some building blocks for next year in that bullpen.
All right, that's the latest from Rhett. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week with a season in review. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.